Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Awesome. Well, I'd like to officially welcome you to Sunday School. I'm Pastor Nick. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, it's great to see you all here. Like I say every Sunday morning, I'll continue to say there's no place I'd rather be than one of our four campuses worshiping God and praising His name. It's an honor and privilege to be able to be here with you all today. And I'm excited to continue our series today entitled Sunday School. We're going to unpack what that means and why we're doing this. But before we do that, I want to do something very, very important. As you came in, you should have received your communion elements, but you also received some fruit snacks. If you received your fruit snacks, I want you to hold them up. Shake them a little bit. You got them? All right, now wait, keep holding them up. Lex, go ahead and put the rules of Sunday School up for me. We are going to have snack time if you're a good listener. If you follow directions, which some of you have already put your fruit snacks down, we're still holding them up. If you raise your hand to speak, if you're kind to others, and if you do your best. Now, I have a question. How many of you already ate your fruit snacks? Anyone? Okay, he's allowed. Anyone else already eat your fruit snacks? Anyone? Day-Day? Tabby ate her fruit snacks already. Listen, we're going to have snack time when I announce we have snack time. If you follow these five rules of Sunday School. Listen, this is why we're doing Sunday School. Sunday School is where your foundation is built. And some of us had the blessing and the privilege of growing up in church and having these foundational truths instilled in us as children. A lot of us didn't have these truths instilled in us as children. Now, whenever we don't have these things given to us as kids, we can sometimes feel inadequate as adults. And then we start bringing our kids to church, and they learn more than us, and then we feel even more inadequate. So I want to let you know that if you have kids here today, they're learning the same thing as you upstairs and over here to my right. We're going to be talking about Daniel today in the lion's den. So I want to encourage you, when you go home with your kids today, talk about it, because you're going to know the same things that they know. You're going to be able to learn and talk together and say, this is what I got from the message today. What did you hear? You're going to be on the same level. You're going to be able to dig into the Word of God together. The big thing that I want you to walk out of here knowing is that you can trust God. You can trust Him. The thing that I want you to walk out of here and do is fix your eyes and hope on God. And understand that when you're fixed on Him and you have your grip and your focus on Him, He will begin to grip you. What you focus on begins to change you. And church, I want the focus that we have to be on God, and I want God to begin to change you. Been a part of the church 17 years. And in no way, shape, or form did I ever think that I would be where I'm at today 17 years ago. I remember when I had to make the decision, Rachel and I, to go into full-time ministry. It was a big jump. I remember the fear that the enemy tried to instill. I remember when it was a moment that all the chips needed to get pushed into the middle. You needed to take that faith jump. The White Oak campus has been in existence for 10 years. I've officially been the pastor of the campus for 9. And God has met my family every single step of the way. Today's story is all about someone who trusted God and was prosperous. Why are we doing this series? Typical stories, foundational stories, because they are foundational stories by which our faith should be built. Church, I want you to have your doodle sheets out that you got when you walked in, and I don't want you to just be drawing pictures on them. I want you to be writing down the foundational truths that we're going to talk about today from Daniel and the Lion's Den. Our memory verse, this is the verse that's going to be touched upon numerous times today. And we're going to say it right now, but it's going to be unpacked, and you're going to recognize why this verse is the one we want you to remember. Daniel 6:23. We're going to read it together. We're going to struggle the first time. The second time's going to be better, and the third is going to be the best. I guarantee it. Here we go. We're going to start with not. We're going to end with God. We're going to struggle with all the words in the middle the first time. I understand that. Here we go. You ready? Loud and proud. You ready? Thank you for answering. You're following instructions. Snack time is closer than it was before. Here we go. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Here we go. Second time, louder than the first. Not third time, louder than the first two. So everybody driving past on Route 48, a.k.a. Jack's Run Road, can hear it and wondering what's going on the second floor of the Empire Building. Here we go. Not some of you forgot what commas were on that third time. It's okay. Commas mean pause. And it's okay. Grammar's hard. It's okay. We're going to do it again. Not right now, but later, after we unpack the 23 verses before it. You know, many people know this story about Daniel and the lion's den, but we want to give you some more context to it today. We want to show you how Daniel was prosperous and successful in all that he did, that God was with him, and he trusted in God every single step of the way. We want to give you an idea and an understanding of this word prosperity. You know, you hear prosperity in church and you're like, oh man, I don't know if I'm happy that we're going to be talking about prosperity today. That's not good. I don't want to hear this prosperity gospel. You know, the word prosperity gets a real bad rap in Christendom. But we're going to talk about true biblical prosperity today, what it really means. And it doesn't mean that you have a Bentley or a Rolls Royce in the driveway of your mansion. It has nothing to do with you having a huge in-ground pool with a grotto. It has nothing to do with you having a beautifully maintained landscaped yard with your landscaper and a housekeeper and a private jet. We'll unpack that a little bit more. But I want you to understand that every follower of Jesus can be prosperous by trusting God in these three areas. And we're going to back this up with Scripture today in Daniel. Trusting God in the area of prayer. You can be prosperous in trusting God through adversity. You can be prosperous when you're trusting God with your future. Your doodle sheets should start to be written on here. And don't worry, I'm going to say these three points about 45 times today. That may be an exaggeration. It may be 35. But it's going to be close. Because I want you to understand what prosperity means and what it looks like in your life. Because prosperity is not a cuss word in Christianity. Don't throw out biblical prosperity. Prosperity is you having everything that God has designed for you to have in your life. Prosperity does not mean that there's a reduction of strife. It is a supernatural strength and favor in hardship. Favor ain't fair. You ever heard that saying? Favor ain't fair. And I know ain't a word, but I'm using it because I just feel like it hits the point home a little further. I know it ain't right and it ain't grammatically correct, but it's being used because favor ain't fair. Favor's like having a cheat code. When you're going through hardship, I want people to look at you and say, how in the world can you have joy in a moment like this? How in the world can you walk through this with a smile on your face? How in the world can you still be walking and doing the things that you're doing? Because favor's present in my life, and you can explain who Jesus is. We'll talk more about that later. But being prosperous does not mean that you get to dictate to God what you want and how you want it and when you want it and what you want Him to do. God is not Burger King. You don't tell Him what you want and how you want it. You get it His way or you don't get it at all. It is not Burger King. It's the kingdom. Prosperity means that you're trusting in Him and obedient to Him. So let's talk about Daniel. Let's give a little context to the book of Daniel before we turn to Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 4. The book of Daniel is all about God, and His will still continue to be worked out and walked out, and His plan will still happen, even though all seems to be lost. That everything around you seems like it's going down the tubes, but God's plan is still going to be walked out and worked out, and it's still going to happen. That's what the book of Daniel is about. So let's pick up in chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Then the other administrators and the high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. They couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon overthrew Jerusalem and took the Jewish people captive. Daniel was one of those captives, and he had to march about 500 miles in harsh conditions to reach Babylon, where he had to remain in captivity. Listen, Daniel was chosen for king's service after tactfully choosing not to eat the royal food and wine, but to eat vegetables and water instead. Listen, Daniel could have been someone who was eating surf and turf, who was chilling and eating cheeseburgers with onion rings and potato patch fries and all the cheese and bacon and charcuterie boards he wanted. He could have been at the king's milkshake factory of Babylon 24/7. He could have been having all the favorite treats that those that hang with the king wanted. But Daniel chose to deny all those things, to deny his flesh. This is actually where we get the Daniel fast from. Daniel was somebody that was so obedient, denied his flesh in so many ways. He was somebody that was taken away in his teens. God gave Daniel the ability to interpret the dream of the king. He spares not only his own life, but his friends and other wise men as well. In Daniel 2:46, King Nebuchadnezzar even falls before Daniel, praising God. Listen, they couldn't find one fault within Daniel. The only way that Daniel could get hemmed up is because of his faith, because of his trust in God, because of who he was as a son. And I want to make it really clear. Daniel was not a pastor. He wasn't a minister. He didn't hold a title. He wasn't a preacher. But his life mattered. He was a son. Why am I saying that? You can change the world and the world around you. And it doesn't matter if you have a title, if you hold a position, if you're an ordained minister, if you have a huge education background, if you have a doctorate in theology. No, it matters your obedience to God and that you're willing to walk it out. And your life matters. Where you are and whose you are matters. So what does it look like trusting in God in the area of prayer? Let's look at verse 10 in Daniel 6. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. I want you to catch that, as usual. With its windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. When bad things happen or things don't go our way, we can turn to God in prayer or turn away from him. Listen, Daniel didn't just run to his house and pray because he knew something bad was about to happen and they just signed something into law about him. No, he returned home and did what he had always done. He went to where he had always gone to pray. He didn't go and just start some new habit. He went and did what he had always done. Daniel had decades of consistent prayer time. So here's my question for us. Do we pray out of obligation or out of anticipation? Do we pray because we have to or because we get to? Do we get out of bed in the morning and have devotion with an anticipation of what God's going to do and what he will do or what we're hoping that he's going to do? Listen, you don't have to get ready when you're already in prayer. Don't get ready, be ready. Already have done your due diligence. I want you to write on your doodle sheets. Doodle sheet is a fun word to say. It really is. Fun words, it's two words. You can make it one if you really want to talk fast. Pittsburghers can talk however they want. Philippians 4, 5 through 7. I want you to read those verses on your own. Colossians 4, 2. Be prepared in prayer. Listen, if you fall overboard on a boat, it's too late to learn how to swim at that point. It really is. You have to be prepared on the front end. Daniel kept doing what he had always done. Uncommon devotion produces uncommon results. And every single follower of Jesus can be prosperous by trusting God in these three areas. In prayer, and trusting God through adversity. Let's see what it looks like to trust God through adversity. Let's hit the point of prayer one more time, though. You know, there will always be prayer in schools as long as there's tests. Think about it. They try to remove prayer in schools, right? There will be no prayer in schools. If they want to do that, get rid of the PSSAs. Get rid of SATs. Am I lying? No. Every teacher prays when those PSSAs hit the desk. They're praying, Lord, please let my students do well on these tests. My funding depends on it. Next year's raise depends on how these students do on these PSSAs. Lord, I've seen teachers that have no idea, have never stepped in a church, pray over those PSSAs. They're seeking God. I saw kids that I went into an SAT to take. They prayed to God, and they've never stepped foot in church because they just wanted to get over a 900. As long as you spell your name correctly and don't color outside the lines, you get at least a 600. I saw kids take SATs. They were never going to step foot in a college. Anyways, prosperity's not bad. Biblical prosperity is not bad. How about snack time? Y'all go with snack time? You guys are doing really, really good. Get your snacks. Shake them a little bit. Warm them up. Oh, yeah. Mott's. We got you guys the good ones. These are the good fruit snacks. You got to use your teeth to open them. I believe that's why God gave us them. We confirm that the orange ones are not orange flavor. They're carrots during the first worship experience. They don't taste like carrots, though. I love carrots. All right, let's talk. What's your favorite flavor? Grape. Shout it out. You're allowed to shout out without raising your hand. I know I was really tough on the rules, but what's your favorite flavor? Grape. Any others other than grape? Cherry? Strawberry? Orange! Who was that? Say it louder for the people in the back. CeCe, orange! Is grape the winner? Yeah, I think grape's the winner too. I'm just so happy nobody said, I was happy at the worst, first, the worst worship experience. The first worship experience, then nobody shouted out colors. Purple! Purple is not a flavor. It is a color. Grape wins? Yeah, I agree. I concur. I think we should have snack time every single week. What do you guys think? Can we get a third on that motion? All in favor? Ace, can you bring snacks next? No, I'm just kidding. What if we did that? What if people had to bring 300 snacks and we just rotate around the room? What if we got a class pet? I remember I had a class pet. Hobbles. Hobbles was a class bunny. My dad almost killed that bunny. A turtle. My neighbor down the street has a turtle. They take him for walks. He can get to be 200 pounds and live well over 100 years. His wife wanted to kill him when he came home with this turtle. Anyways, the turtle's name is Dog. Trusting God through adversity. Daniel 6, verse 16. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." And again, Daniel mentioned as serving God so faithfully, his reputation was talked about. They pointed out who Daniel was in God. So what does God give you when you're faithful? He doesn't give you easy street. He doesn't give you everything you've ever asked for. Listen, the cross isn't a cheat code. It's not like rubbing a genie. God gives you more work when you're faithful. God gives you more challenges to grow. 14 years ago, when I started going to a connection group, and then I accepted the opportunity to lead a connection group, which my first week of leading a connection group, I'll never forget, it started at 7 o'clock and no one showed up. And I knew that two of the guys that were supposed to be there were at the townhouse next door. I knew they were there. 7 o'clock showed. No one was there. The coffee was made. The snacks were out. And I was just sitting there with my Bible. No one showed up. 7:02 came. And they finally walked in. And then 6 people showed up that night. If I would have known that a few years later, I would be leading a campus that is around 300 people, I would have never pushed all my chips in the middle because I wouldn't have felt like I was capable. God doesn't give you all the work at once. He gives you the work and the challenges that match your obedience at the time. The more obedient, the more faithful, the more work, the more challenge. It matches your level. Keep growing. Keep moving. Keep going forward. And God will meet you there. And things will keep growing exponentially. Verse 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment of Netflix. So I put that in there. And couldn't sleep at all that night. Daniel was in the den, trusting God through adversity. Verse 19. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions?" Verse 21, Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, and he had trusted in God. Church, listen. God will not always do what we want him to do, and things will not always happen as we think they should happen. Daniel got put into that lion's den. And I could only think that the first thing that he probably wanted to do was start to fight on his own. There's lions. I'm from the port, okay? I'm from McKeesport, born and raised. On a playground is where I spent most of my days. I could do the whole song, but I'm not going to do it because I'd be feeding my flesh. Listen, I got in one little fight one day. My mama got... No. Listen, he probably wanted to fight. He probably wanted to throw some bows. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. All the people that knew that Daniel was put in the den were probably sitting back that whole night. Wonder if God's going to show up. Wonder if when we go in the morning and we remove the seal that's blocking the den, if Daniel's going to be in there. Wonder if God really showed up. People are probably thinking, God didn't show up. I think Daniel probably thought that God was just going to pull him out and rescue him. Come here, Daniel. You're Daniel. Come on. Come on, Daniel. You, how dare they put you in a lion's den? Come on with me. Those lions are dangerous. Those were scary lions. Did you see those lions?
They were all right.
Let's go get some. What do you want? What do you want to eat, bud?
Pumpkin pie.
Oh, like a basic white girl in September. You want a pumpkin latte, too?
Are we getting pumpkin pie? This
come on, let's go. You want to go to Plaza? Want to go over to Plaza Azteca? We'll get you some fajitas?
Yeah.
Tableside guacamole?
I love guac.
Oh, you want some guac? Okay.
Yeah.
How dare they put my faithful son in the lion's den? That was not right. That's not what God did, everybody. God didn't do that. But I'm sure Daniel probably thought that that should have been what happened. No, but God does things that are way more miraculous than what our little brains can think of. What did God do? God had Daniel in this lion's den, and he got to sit in this lion's den the whole entire night with what was supposed to kill him. What was supposed to destroy him and rip him up from limb to limb. He got to cuddle with it.
Wait, so no pumpkin pie?
No, just lions. Just memories.
Close second.
There was probably food in there for the lions. You probably got to eat some raw meat. But think about it, church. What was supposed to kill Daniel kept him warm. God flipped around and kept him safe throughout that night. I don't know. There's no chapter and verse. When I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, we're not going to be able to ask Daniel because questions won't matter because we're going to be in the presence of our King and all that stuff's going to be removed. But if I could, I would ask Daniel, hey, did you play fetch with the lions? Did you just sit next to him? You're a good lion. He's a good boy.
Feels good.
Keep going. Giant hands, like seriously. What did you do with the lions that night, bro? Did you play fetch with them? I'm just thinking like all the lions were like Simba and Nala. Did they sing Hakuna Matata in there? Like, did Pumbaa and Timon just show up? Give a hand for Daniel. You did great. But think about it, church. Because of Daniel's faithfulness through adversity, was he prosperous and successful? What role did the adversity play? Listen, you may never be in a lion's den, literally. You may never be surrounded by real physical lions. But you better believe that there's real adversity in your life. And you have the opportunity every single day to be prosperous through it. I'll be real and vulnerable with you in church. Today is July 10th. 6 days past the 3-year anniversary of a day that changed my life. It was July 4th, 3 years ago. I got to fulfill something that was a prayer of mine, a dream. Got to have a big 4th of July party at my house that I prayed for, I believed for. My wife and I bought our house 7 years ago. I lost every house I lived in growing up. At one point, I was homeless. I'll share the story with you, the whole story. It's a great story of God's faithfulness. I can honestly say that the time that I was homeless was my best memory with God. 3 years ago, 4th of July morning, I cut the grass on the 3rd in preparation. 4th of July morning, I wake up, rake up some of the grass. There's dew on the ground. Putting up tents, spraying off chairs, getting the smoker going. Cleaning off the Blackstone. Burgers and dogs are ready to go on. Making sure tents are up, tables are ready. Go in the house, get ready for the day. Put on my Van loafers, size 15. Because I didn't order a 16 because I didn't have them in stock at the time. I was stubborn. I'm the first one to say that I'm stubborn. Because I always said I wear a 15 or a 16. Why did I say that? So that I reserved the right to order a 15 if I wanted to. Was out for 14 hours that day, had tons of people at the house. Got a tiny little crack in my great toe. I noticed it, took care of it. The 5th of July comes, notice that the top of my toe is red. I notice it, I took care of it. The night of the 5th of July comes, it's swollen. I noticed it, didn't ignore it, went straight to the emergency room. Because I'm smart, and I know that that's nothing to mess with. Followed the directions of the emergency room doctors. You're fine, it's great. Leave it unwrapped, soak in Epsom salts 3 times a day. Follow up with your PCP in 14 days. Take this antibiotic just in case. Later, went to the PCP. Nick, what did you do? Followed the instructions of the doctors. He said, well, you did a great job at listening and growing one of the worst infections I've seen in my office. You need to see a foot surgeon like yesterday. Went to the foot surgeon, I'll skip to today. 3 years later, still dealing with some stuff. What's the adversity? God has shown up numerous times and will continue to show up. The prosperity that will come from this is going to far exceed the things that I feel like my family and I have been robbed of. The enemy will continue to lie, though. What is the weight that I get to carry? My son's 4 years old. I've been dealing with this for 3 years. I've never gotten to run with him to the full extent of which I feel like I could. I've never fully gotten to play with him to the full extent that I feel like I could. It breaks my heart. But God is going to prosper my family and I far beyond what we can even think of. And the lions that were designed to rip us to shreds, we're going to cuddle with them. And we will run, and we will ride bikes, and we will wrestle, and he better get ready. Because I will always be bigger than him. So my question is, what lions are you facing today? I don't know your lions. I only know mine. But I know they won't win. You know why? Because every follower of Jesus can be prosperous by trusting in God in these three areas. Prayer, through adversity, and with your future. Let's hit that one. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. Listen, our trust in God is not just for us, it's for others. Your prosperity, your faith, your obedience, you beating the lions in your life should not just change your life, it should change the lives of the people around you. And not just your family and friends. It should change the nation, your world. It should help the people around you not worry about tomorrow and help them recognize that He's given us enough grace for today. Prosperity shouldn't just be something for you. It should be something that goes for generations and generations. Daniel had success for over 6 to 8 decades. It wasn't a one and done thing. It wasn't just about one night in a den full of lions. It was about decades. I'm not running a race for 3 years with an infection. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Daniel fixed his eyes on God and what he could do and what he would do. Daniel didn't mess with the peripheral stuff. He didn't think about what was going on around him. He turned major stuff into minor issues. Stop focusing on the little stuff and allow God to deal with it. And recognize that haters are going to hate. Let them do their job. All the people that tried to knock Daniel off, how can we get rid of him? How can we knock him off? How can we hem him up? Haters gonna hate. Let them do their job. The higher you get, the more haters. Biggie said it. More money, more problems. It's true. New levels, new devils. Let's keep going. Verse 26, "I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. Trusting in God with our future." Verse 27, "He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Verse 28, "So Daniel prospered during the reign of King Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Prosperity comes from trusting in God. It's not the removal of adversity that's going to do it. It's going through it in prayer and with a hope for your future in God. Listen, it's not about staying in it. It's about going through it. Church, every follower of Jesus can be prosperous by trusting God in prayer and while you're being someone that understands that you have a hope and a future. Daniel didn't save himself. Daniel didn't try to fight the lions. Daniel went into that den and said, listen, God, have your way. Do what you do. I trust you. If he would have started throwing bows, he would have lost some of them. Daniel would have been walking out of there with not everything he went in with. Let's get to our memory verse. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in God. Not a scratch, not a paper cut, nothing. I wonder, when he walked out of that den, did he have a lion next to him? Did he ride a lion out? I would have rode a lion out. Imagine that. I would have rode a lion out. That would have been so gangster. Just ride a lion out. This is my boy, Simba. Rawr. Seriously, would you have rode a lion out? I would have. And right when I got out of the den, I would have told the lion, like, stand up. Good boy. Lion. We're going to start landing the plane. Worship team's going to come up. And I have a question for you. I don't know where you're at. Well, obviously, I know where you're at. You're at Bridge City Church in White Oak, 3001 Jack's Run Road, second floor of the Empire Building. But I don't know where you're at in your walk with Jesus. I don't know where you're at and what lions you may be fighting. But I do know one thing. You don't have to have a scratch on you. You don't have to be harmed. You can be victorious. If you've taken your rightful position as a son or daughter of the King. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, God saved you by his grace when you first believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a free gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. So do you have a day, a time, a place where you fully received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? A day, a time, a place where you have taken your position as a son or daughter? Do you have a day, a time, a place where you have fully put your trust in him and understood that the lions that have been trying to devour you and you've been trying to fight on your own, you're not going to win without him. So today could be your day. And it's really simple. You need to die to yourself and be able to be open and honest and stop lying to yourself. Say, oh, when I was a kid, I did it. Or my grandma prayed with me or prayed for me. No. You need to be able to say, I've never really had that moment on my own. I've never really had that moment where I fully believed or prayed or had somebody pray with me or lead me through the gospel. Or maybe you did and you walked away from it. Today can be your day to walk back home. And if that's you, if I'm speaking to you, if you're your heart's been beating a mile a minute. I just want you to slip your hand up to heaven and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to fully accept the grace that he gave me. I need to fully accept the gift that the cross is. Accept him as the forgiver of my past and the leader into my future. Anyone at all today? Father God, I thank you for every single person that can hear my voice. God, I thank you for the fact that we have the opportunity right now to prepare for communion. To take this moment to remember who you are and who we are because of you. Lord, that we get this opportunity to remember what was done on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that we would all fully trust in you in adversity. That we would fully prepare for that adversity and prepare in prayer. God, I thank you that we have a future and a hope because of what you did on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, can you please grab your elements that you should have received as you walked in? If you didn't, the ushers are prepared to pass those out. Just slip your hand up. The crackers that we have are a representation of the bread that Jesus told his disciples to eat as a representation of the body that was given for us. The juice that we have is a representation of the blood that Jesus told his disciples to drink of as a representation of the blood that was shed to wash us clean. And listen, church, this covenant that we have with Jesus through the cross is not just to benefit you and I as individuals. This covenant is to benefit the world around us. A covenant always has a third-party benefit. And this communion that we're about to receive is not just between you and Jesus and your brothers and sisters that are sitting next to you. It's supposed to go outside of these walls. And I pray that it does as we remember Jesus and everything that he did on the cross for us. Because remember, your prosperity is supposed to affect others. So Lord, we take this moment, we take this bread as a remembrance of the body that was given for us. Let's partake together, church. And Lord, we drink of this juice as a representation of the blood that washed us clean and the price that was paid for our sin. Let's partake, church. Church, let's stand to our feet as we worship our King.